From 90.7 WFAE Charlotte and 90.3 WFHE Hickory, this is Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins. Turns out the explosion in digital technology came along at just the right time for the city of Charlotte, when the population was also exploding. Over the last few decades, the city has certainly made use of digital data to figure out, for example, how to best conserve energy and water downtown and how to reduce all that waste that's generated every day. It's tapping into these technologies to improve the quality of services, reduce costs, and resource consumption. We're definitely going to get into all of this as we go along with the program and what benefits there are for the average Charlotte resident and consumer. For its efforts, though, Charlotte has pretty much earned the designation of being a smart city, a designation that, again, goes well beyond just conservation measures. It incorporates how to be smart with infrastructure, transportation, education, the economy, overall making the city a more livable place. This, by the way, is a public private partnership. Some of the biggest corporate names in the area are on board, actually financing much of the effort here because they stand to benefit as well. We're doing this show now because what's known as the Smart Cities Council is holding a conference in Charlotte in just a few weeks. So let's jump right in. Our guests today include the Assistant City Manager from the City of Charlotte, Hong Yi. Hong, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Amy Ossaker is Executive Director of Envision Charlotte. We're going to learn what that's all about. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Johan Enslin is Director of Energy Production and Infrastructure Center, better known by the acronym EPIC, at UNC Charlotte. Johan, great to see you.
Good morning.
And Assistant City Manager Hong Yi, I'll start with you. Sounds like you've been closely involved with the Smart Cities concept. So first, tell us more about what is a smart city.
You know, I've been thinking about this question leading up to this this show this morning, and I think this is the best way that I've come up with to explain it to just the average regular person who may have no interest in a smart city, but why this should matter to them.
Mm.
If you think about your health, you go to a doctor once a year, you do your annual physical. So once a year, you learn your cholesterol, your blood pressure, all that stuff that once a year tells you whether you're healthy or unhealthy, and if you should make any life choice changes to be healthier. Most of us do that, and we kind of ignore it because it's once a year. But what if you could get that data on your health weekly or daily or even multiple times during the day in real time, so you could make some really different choices about what you eat for lunch, what you eat for breakfast, how you exercise? I mean, probably you would make some very different choices about your life. Smart cities is really that same concept applied to an entire city. Charlotte, over the last 30 years, has more than doubled in its population from about 350 to over 760,000 mm-hmm. people. At the same time, you can't double the water. You can't double the land resources. You just can't double all the other natural resources that you would need to support that kind of population. The only way to do it is to be smarter. And what that really means for cities, and especially for Charlotte, is applying technologies, sensors, systems, wireless, to the things that we normally do as an organization so that we can do it more efficiently, more effectively, and we can get more data in real time so that we can make smarter choices as a city and as an organization to better serve the residents of Charlotte.
Does it literally mean that there are sensors in the city of Charlotte planted at different locations to gauge things like water usage downtown, how much energy is being used downtown, where traffic seems to be headed at any particular hour?
Well, I'll give you one example, and I think then Amy could actually speak to some of the stuff that's happening downtown. So let's talk about your water. All of us have water. We're familiar with it, and we know what a water meter looks like. What we used to do, I guess I'll call it the olden days if I can use that term, is we had people walking around to your house reading your water meter on a monthly basis. We had about 30 people doing that. That was their job. And then we went to the next generation of water meters. So now, instead of 30 people walking around reading meters, we have two people in trucks driving around, and the technology in the truck talks with the water meter technology at your house. So now we're able to do with two guys and two trucks what used to take 30 people and 30 trucks to do.
So that's where the digital technology
comes in. That's where the technology comes in. And so we're embedding technology in our water meters, in our parking meters, all over the city, in our streetlights, just so that we can get the data so that we can, again, make better choices. And I'm probably thinking Amy wants to jump in at this point.
Yeah, please do.
Well, one of the things that Envision Charlotte did is we are looking to reduce energy use in our uptown buildings. And so there are 64 buildings uptown that are 10,000 square feet or larger of commercial space. Hmm. 61 of those signed on to reduce their energy use by 20%. So what we did is we went into all 61 of those buildings and put a shadow energy meter that gathered that real-time energy use. And then we aggregate it, normalize it, and show people what the actual use is uptown. And then Duke Energy went in and started their Smart Energy Now program by teaching people how to turn lights off, how to unplug monitors, all that kind of stuff. And we actually reduced the energy in those 61 buildings by 8.4%, which was a $10 million savings. So by censoring up those buildings and looking at that real-time energy use, we were able to make decisions on programs and make sure that they were effective.
And being businesses, I take it was an easy sell to these businesses that not only are you going to conserve energy, but you're going to conserve money.
Yes. It's an economic development decision.
Johan.
Right. Yeah. So if you look at sustainability in general, and also, you know, we're talking about smart cities today, but it's very much linked to the smart grid and all these related topics. It's all about making better use of our existing resources, but at the same time have a good business case behind it, because we don't want to do things just for the sake of it. We really want to do these energy efficiency measures, the better use of water, waste streams, but actually make it as a business case. And that's what's really happened. And actually, you know, if you look at what happened in Europe and in the last 10 years, a lot of these things have been done. So I think it's in a little bit for us, it's catch up. To catch up to the state where we're not so wasteful, where we don't waste our food, our water, our energy, make our air cleaner, but at a good business proposition for all involved.
Which is a heck of a challenge, Hongyi, because of with the greater concentration you have of people, the bigger the problems that you have,
yes,
seemingly.
Well, I guess, you know, traditionally cities have approached their citizens as customers. You know, we provide a service, whether it's police, fire, road construction, pothole filling, picking up your solid waste. And so each of those services existed in a silo, and you as a customer, you know, received those. And if you weren't happy, you made a phone call to get your trash picked up or get your pothole fixed. But as the population doubles, and it doubles again in the next 30 years, that we just can't continue to provide services in the old traditional model simply because the resources aren't there to support or sustain us.
I made the point in the introduction that the whole leap into the digital technology came along right at just the perfect time for Charlotte, because it seems to be on the exact same path, parallel paths, as with the growth in the population that you noted, Hongyi. So along these lines, it really is dependent upon the digital technology. It's overutilization of it and relying upon it heavily, Amy.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many cool technologies coming out. And one of the things that we're trying to do in Charlotte, especially with Envision Charlotte, is to say, hey, you cool companies who have great new technologies, come pilot them in Charlotte. Prove that they work and then take them out and sell them. And so that's what these big companies are looking to do. You know, we're talking with some companies right now about smart street poles. And if you think about it, everyone wants to be on a street pole right now. You have the small cell technology, which is your cell phone. You could read water meters, gas meters, and electric meters from street poles. You could read parking sensors from street poles. And so if you really want to be a truly smart city, let's put in smart street poles all over the city that can read all of this stuff. They can have security. They can have the lights that show you after a Panthers game how to get to your car and block traffic the right ways. They can do traffic signals. I mean, there are truly some ingenious technologies coming. So the quicker that we can implore those, the quicker that we can see the savings and the benefits for our citizens.
What are the things the city of Charlotte is doing, Hongyi, that results in a designation of being a smart city? What are the top 3 to 4 things that it's doing?
Well, I already told you about the water meters. The other thing that we're doing in the uptown area is we have these, I guess called big bin trash cans that have sensors in it that tell us when they're full. So instead of sending a crew out every day to empty what may be half full or even empty trash cans, the crews only go out when the trash can tells them, hey, I'm full, you need to come empty me. So now crews are going out once a week. So we save a lot of, I guess, labor, if you want to call it that, by having smart sensors in our uptown trash cans.
Yeah, that's the efficiency of the manpower, if you will.
Exactly.
And the energy that it takes to get to the trash can and to pick it up. Speaking of trash, though, the downtown Charlotte generates quite a bit.
Yes.
How much?
In our 61 buildings, it's 44 million pounds of trash a year. Million tons of trash a year, sorry.
And one of the objectives of Envision Charlotte is to help reduce that amount of trash on a daily basis. How so?
Well, we're doing a couple things. You were talking earlier about Europe. Well, I like to say that Charlotte's the land of plenty. So it's very hard to get businesses to make decisions when there's water that's flowing freely and you've got cheap energy. So you have to make the business case. And one of the things with waste is over in Europe, they have had to put sensors on their trash to be able to monitor and manage their trash systems better and actually dynamic routing where you go pick it up when it's full, not when it's half full. And so we're partnering with a company called Enivo out of Europe to start censoring our trash in those 61 buildings so we can start gathering that real-time waste data so that we can start looking at how can we shift, again, people's perception and get them to start recycling and reducing more going into the landfill, reducing that amount by using different kinds of products and also recycling and sending it out to the MRF.
I'm really going to jump ahead, Johan. Do you want to add something here?
Yeah, what I basically want to say, sensors are so inexpensive now. Mm. You can think of sensors going all over. Even your credit card has a sensor in today, right? And it costs nothing. So I think the issue is we can afford now to put sensors across our whole infrastructure, water, electricity, transportation, etc. The issue is, of course, what do we do with all the data coming into those sensors? So I think the focus is shift from, let's say it's expensive to install and so on, to the point of what do we do with all the data streams which come as our way? How can we operate?
Somebody needs to analyze it,
exactly.
Correct?
And monitor it. Somebody or some systems.
Right.
So you want to have distributed decision-making, like the waste sensor, to actually measure those remotely, have a decision, send signals directly to a truck company to actually collect that when it's full. So those are the sort of distributed decision-making we sort of do as this Internet of Things of today. And we do the same on your house,
Yeah.
You are measuring equipment usage on your house, and you can actually use that data to actually control the loads. So there are so many ways we can use sensors and at the same time sort of have this energy efficiency, waste management, and so on as beneficial use.
That's Johan Yensland, Director of the Energy Production and Infrastructure Center at UNC Charlotte, also joined by Amy Ossaker from the Executive Director of Envision Charlotte. Hong Yi is here, Assistant City Manager for the City of Charlotte, and we'll be back with more of our discussion about smart cities like Charlotte, North Carolina, on Charlotte Talks right after this.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, providing comprehensive care for infants to seniors, including audiology, allergy, cataracts, diabetic eye care, glaucoma, and sleep medicine. Details at goodsenses.com. A couple of weeks ago, Mike Collins spoke with CMS Superintendent Ann Clark, along with the chair of the State Board of Education and the governor's education advisor, about education and what we may see come out of this legislative session. But one aspect of education policy has been in the news recently, and that is charter schools. So what are charter schools? What is their role in our overall academic picture? Why do some fail while others succeed? Those questions and more when we focus on charter schools with guest host Dr. Michael Bitzer when Charlotte Talks, Monday at 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
Mm-hmm. On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup, the latest on the showdown over funding the Department of Homeland Security, President Obama vetoes the Keystone Pipeline, and the FCC votes on net neutrality rules.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
We're back on Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins, and our guests today include Hong Yi, Assistant City Manager from the City of Charlotte. Amy Ossaker is Executive Director of Envision Charlotte. Johan Inslin is Director of Energy Production and Infrastructure Center at UNC Charlotte. And Johan, I wanted to ask you if there's anything you monitor, all of these processes that are going on around the world, the smart things that cities around the world are doing. If there's any one thing that a city around the world is doing that you wish Charlotte was doing today, what would it be?
Chris, there are so many things, but I think what is very interesting is to see the nexus with water and energy. How some cities, and I can mention Amsterdam, for instance, how they actually utilized water or managed water, and at the same time, energy use, both in terms of energy generation, but also recovering of waste heat. So one of the very interesting projects which I saw there one day is that all the heat energy from basically hot water after you shower. Okay, so while you shower, there's a lot of waste heat because you only shower for 5 seconds for water to touch you, and then it runs off, right? So that waste heat is actually recovered, and it actually do preheating on your existing hot water cylinder. So these are, you know, it's very, you know, and they save something like 60% on the hot water energy used to heat up the water. So these are sort of things we have to look into a more collective way, rather than just siloed every, energy efficiency versus water use. But there's sort of a nexus of water, energy, waste, and it all is interconnected. And I think the digital society helps us to make that interconnection much more suitable to actually implement easier, to have more information about it. And it's just a much easier way to manage these processes.
As a paid professional skeptic and cynic at particular points, is there any resistance by American corporations, by American industries, who could see such a technological advancement as being a threat to their product?
That's a loaded question, of course. But the bottom line is people make money to sell stuff. Okay?
Correct.
So if you sell less, obviously you will make less money. That's sort of the first sort of reaction you will get to people. And it doesn't matter if it's energy or it's water, it doesn't matter, because that's really how our society is built up. The point is, what you would try to change that philosophy more to a services. What additional services can you offer rather than just sell kilowatt hours or just sell so much liters of water? So it's really those additional services, make those services the smarter piece of it, and that's where you can actually tap more revenue rather than just use more water or use more electricity. So I think it's really that issue of providing that additional services, making all of these things to operate smarter together rather than in silos. I think that is really where we have to eat with.
And Duke Energy has done that, in fact, by notifying homeowners, telling them how well they're doing at conserving energy, for example. Hong Yi.
Well, my point on that would be that, yes, but you only get that information once a month.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's late. And it's always, you know, retrospective.
It's after the month has passed.
Yeah, but what if you got a text message that says, hey, your use today is above average. What are you doing? Why don't you turn down the heat a little bit?
Yeah.
That would be useful.
Absolutely. The technology is there. I mean, we've seen several companies now, just Nest and, all these different technologies out there, where you can instantaneously look at your energy use in your home. And the utilities can use that information as well to manage their load and impact basically brownouts and improve the utilization of the existing resources. So it's a win-win. I don't see it's the utilities versus the individual and so on. It's really a win-win for everybody.
Johan touched on it earlier. The technology is actually the easy part. The hard part is actually getting people to change their behavior based on the data that they're now seeing that they didn't have access to before. And I'll give you an example to use, just waste, trash as an example. So if we do all the censoring thing and you as a homeowner, we gave you that information. We told you, weekly based on when we pick up your trash, how much trash versus recycling we picked up. It doesn't mean anything unless it changes your behavior. And for a system, for our trash collection system, for our solid waste department, doesn't mean anything unless they look at that system, the data in aggregate, and make some different decisions about how they run their business. And it doesn't mean anything to the city if we're not making smarter public policy choices based on the data that we are seeing.
Let's talk a little bit more about what is the Smart Cities Council. Who is that? Amy.
The Smart Cities Council is actually an industry-led coalition of companies that have Smart Cities divisions, like Microsoft, IBM, Cisco, Schneider. They're all a part of this council. And they came together several years ago basically to promote the benefits of a smart city to cities. And a lot of it is you can't build a smart city with one company or one technology. It takes a lot. Mm. So they had all these companies working in silos. So the Smart City Council brought these companies together to bring those solutions together so they could go to cities of a more complete offering.
A designation of being a smart city is not just one thing or two things or three things. Some of the things that help you get that designation.
Well, part of it is the fact that we have 61 buildings in Envision Charlotte that have participated in reducing energy, water, waste, air impact. Their city, their county, their utilities, their university, banks. So you've got all across the system. So the fact that we've been able to bring all of these different groups together and look at their energy use collectively is unheard of, literally, in the world. I get calls from all over the world. How did you do that? How did you get all of these different groups looking at this data? You know, one of the things we're talking with Duke Energy about is how do we now look at that data and look at the grid and look at peak times? So perhaps not every building turns on at 7 o'clock in the morning, which puts a huge demand on the grid. Other cities are chomping at the bits to be able to have this kind of data and have this kind of, I like to call it a public-private plus partnership.
Mm. Because?
Because we've got more than just public-private. We've got Duke involved. We've got UNC Charlotte is one of our biggest partners looking at someone once said, the data tsunami, which is accurate. There's just so much data that we're going to be collecting, and we need really smart people like the people at UNC Charlotte to look at that data and then start looking at the nexus between water and energy and waste.
What are some of the other things, Hongyi, that the city of Charlotte is doing that makes it a smart city?
Well, I will tell you that we are starting to change some of our parking meters uptown. Several hundred parking meters are going to be quote-unquote smart parking meters. They'll be connected. You'll be able to buy, space time several different ways. We have Google Fiber coming in, which gives us a competitive advantage in that we have, a more modern infrastructure that we can layer all of this smart technology on top of. There's a big focus on electric vehicles and charging stations for electric vehicles. Again, this is part of the energy use and being sustainable. We have the Charlotte Code for America Brigade. Let me say that right. Code for America, Charlotte Brigade. And, they doing the whole open data thing and making all the data publicly available to anyone who wants it.
How so? I mean, where does the rubber meet the road on that one? I mean, how does that work?
Well, let me say it quick, and I think others will want to jump in. I guess the way I would say it is not all the smartest people work for city government. There are, contrary to popular belief, there are smart people doing other things. And so we don't have a monopoly on good ideas. Mm. And so rather than us just sitting in our offices trying to figure out what to do with all this data, to the extent that we can, we're going to push it out there, put it out there in the marketplace, let smart people figure out what they can do with it and what they want to do with it, rather than us dictating it for them.
Sort of a Kickstarter campaign of ideas to solicit ideas from the general public. Where does Envision Charlotte come in?
Well, what I was going to say with the Code for America, when the Smart City Council comes here and has their quarterly meeting, Envision Charlotte is also having a lunch to educate our city leaders on how we have become such a smart city and why we have so many, cities all around the world looking at us. But part of that, we're doing a hackathon, and it's in conjunction with Code for America, the Charlotte Brigade, UNC Charlotte, the City of Charlotte, and Analytics and Big Data Society. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to give them all these different data points. We're going to open it up and they're going to hack all night. And our question to them is, do something to make us the smartest city in the world. We're going to edge out Barcelona. But we'll give them all this data. They code all night and come up with a product to make us the smartest city.
Well, you went to Barcelona, Amy, Johan went to Barcelona a couple of months ago.
Right.
They were just designated by somebody, possibly just themselves, as being the smartest city in the world. Why?
Well, I mean, they've done some good things after the Olympics of, you know, a number of years ago.
Yeah, 1992, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
They really got on a track to really get the city smarter, especially in terms of public transportation, a mobile, meaning, you know, communications is all over. You can communicate, you know, on cell phone, but you can communicate on internet, on Wi-Fi. They actually had a whole old, you know, subdivision, which they totally revamped with how do they do waste collection. It's all in a dump chute. I mean, there's so many cool things they did. But it's really that dedication. And you know, it's not easy because it does cost money. And sometimes, you know, you have to show the investment up front. Hasn't done before. So I think they really did a great job. They have integrated, for instance, it's a whole new convention center where, you know, it's basically a new city. If you look at Barcelona 20 years ago and today, it is a new city. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Really the blue line, the extension of a blue line, these public transportation things are really what we need in the city. And we are doing those. So we are already doing on a good way and we can do much more. But I think we are in a good shape right now.
Hongyi, because of the reputation the city has, Charlotte now has, as being innovative and trying to be forward-thinking, how much do you think that attitude helped in recruiting Google Fiber, which you just alluded to a few moments ago?
Well, I will tell you that, the city just has a stellar reputation overall. We are viewed as a really well-run, well-managed city and a great place to do business.
Mm.
And I think all of that contributes to not just Google, but to other businesses, to other companies like Siemens, Electrolux, all the others, and those that are still, you know, in the pipeline, looking at Charlotte as a very attractive place. And then for us to have all this smart stuff going on makes it even more attractive, especially for those companies that are engaged in energy, sustainability, technology, that they may, you know, because we're a test bed for them.
Utilization of the digital technology that is out there. Are we optimizing that technology, in your opinion?
That's a tough question.
There's room for improvement.
That's a tough question because I don't know that anyone really knows what optimized smart technology is. But
I mean, we're on the road to make it smarter and utilize it. You know, Google Fiber's not there yet, right? So we just look at opportunities which may develop as we get this sort of rolled out. But I mean, you know, one thing which I think is very important to note here as well, we are doing actually very well. I mean, we are doing as a city very, very innovative things. And I think we can always do better, but we are doing great as compared to other cities.
Amy?
Well, and I would say it's a mindset because technology changes. As we're sitting here, new technology is coming out. So no matter how good we are, you can always be better. But I think the fact that the city and UNC Charlotte, the utilities, Duke, Piedmont, all of us have the attitude that we want to be better and that we want to embrace the technology and become smarter, that puts us on that continual path of becoming a smarter city because it's always going to change. You can't just someday go, okay, we're done, because the next day new technology just came out.
This is all about working smarter, not necessarily just harder.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If you'd like to join our conversation, email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. Ernie emails, how does the concept of smart cities promote quality green space, and what does that mean for Charlotte? What specific actions are on the horizon to increase quality green space? Anybody?
Okay, let me take a shot at it. I mean, I guess this, again, goes back to the question of solid waste and how we manage it, because ideally we would want less stuff going into a landfill and more stuff being recycled. And a way to change the behavior of individuals and of businesses and of the whole waste stream is to use technology to do that. And the better we understand what's going into our landfill, the better we can do at pulling out the recyclable materials and actually recycling at a higher rate than we are now. That means less land is being used for landfill, and we have the opportunity to reclaim land and do something different with it, including, you know, saving it for green space.
So much of the smart cities concept seems to me, as well as Envision Charlotte, smart cities concept from around the world, has to do with conservation and or the environment. True?
Yes. And I think, you know, also renewables. You know, we haven't spoken too much about renewables, but it really brings back, you know, how can we actually do more generation locally in our city? So the renewables, integrating renewables onto our cities, into our cities, that is really a trend. And it helps, of course, we call it microgrids in some cases. It does help to make cities more resilient with storms because you have local generation. You don't have to import it from long distances. But it also helps you to have a more sustainable, cleaner air around you. So there's also, in all of these discussions, the renewables, the energy efficiency, the waste stream management, all of those are intertwined very, very strongly. And that's really where we are moving towards, rather than just siloing each individual activity.
Again, something I thought about a few moments ago that Bill on Twitter wrote and asked about: if you manage uptown electricity use, why does Duke ask us to save power, but at the same time, they don't turn off the lights on their own building? They have those big, bright lights on that some people find entertaining.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, coming back to lights, I think we've done actually great on lights. If you just look at how we reduced power consumption with LED lighting,
it's just amazing
what we've done. So I don't say we should turn off all our lights. That's probably not what we want to do. But there are some times where cities need to be darker. And I think Amy will jump in to tell you something, that there are some ways we can save energy to be, you know, turning off lights. I agree.
The city needs to be darker? What?
Well, I'll tell you, I've always said that it'd be really cool if we were a completely dark city. And I know, let's not get into all the security things, but if we didn't have a skyline at night, now that would really say something about energy conservation. But let me just say something about the Duke lights, because when I go speak about this, that's one of the biggest questions people ask me.
Right.
They're trying to conserve energy and then they light the building up pink. Well, those are LED lights that actually cost just they're so small in actually how much they cost to light that up. And so it's not what it appears. It's not that big energy sucker that people think it is at all.
Speaking of that building, there was another question, too, on Facebook about the smart cities also include green roofs, solar roofs, solar parking lots.
Yeah.
Is that part of the plan, too?
Well, I mean, that's what I mentioned about, you know, having a renewables really in the cities, because it's tough to do these large solar fields, you know, in the city perimeter. So thinking about all your roof space, you know, having green spaces on the roof, are absolutely a great idea. And a lot of cities around the country is doing that. So I think it's absolutely the way to go, to have more of those green spaces.
We're back talking about why Charlotte is such a smart city on WFAE right after this.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Scharf Para & Company, providing professional tax, accounting, and auditing services for individuals and businesses, estates, and trusts since 1975. Details available at scharfpara.com. Coming up in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock, it's the Diane Rehm Show and the Friday News Roundup. In the first hour of the program, a panel of journalists will join Diane Rehm for analysis of this week's top national news stories. They'll talk about the latest on the showdown over the funding of the Department of Homeland Security, President Obama vetoing the Keystone Pipeline, and the FCC voting on net neutrality rules. Tune in to the Diane Rehm Show in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. Here on 90.7 WFAE. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can do it at our email address, charlottetalks@wfae.org, or search for WFAE on Facebook and Twitter. We're coming right back.
If you missed Morning Edition this week, then you missed this surprising report from NPR's Shankar Vedantam.
In an analysis of more than 1,300 counties, the amount of anger expressed on Twitter is a very powerful predictor of heart disease in those counties.
Tune in and don't miss out on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Catch Morning Edition weekdays from 5 until 9 here on 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org.
We are back on Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins. Our guests today include Hong Yi, Assistant City Manager for the City of Charlotte. Amy Ossaker is Executive Director of Envision Charlotte. Johan Inslin is Director of the Energy Production and Infrastructure Center, EPIC, as it is known, at UNC Charlotte. What is EPIC?
Well, EPIC is one of those great private-public partnerships. You know, it's a program which started from industry. And it really works with the state government, the university system, to really establish a well-suited energy program here on campus. This is unique. And, I mean, we are also the envy of all the universities I've seen around the country. We're probably better known about what we do outside of Charlotte than inside. So this is a great opportunity to talk about it. But, I mean, what we are doing is workforce development. So we do education of engineers but also other scientists in the energy area. We do applied research, you know, exactly the sort of things we were talking about this morning with Amy and Envision Charlotte, doing applied research. And then secondly, economic development. So we're doing incubators, startup companies, but we also help companies to come to Charlotte. Recently, you may have known that Areva joined, as headquarters here in Charlotte. And one of the reasons they said they want to come here is because of EPIC. And we were very proud of that, of course. So that is the sort of environment where we would like to operate. We are basically workforce development, economic development, and then applied research.
And you're sharing the information, all that you're learning here on the University of North Carolina.
We are a public Charlotte university, King, right. And we are sharing everything. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Hong Yi, during the break, you were telling us the city of Charlotte has the smartest police cars in the country.
Yes, we do. And I will admit up front that that's a self-designated term, as with Barcelona being the smartest city. But let me tell you why I say that. If you peer through the window of Charlotte's police cars, you know, you'll see that it's not just the car. They have laptops hooked in. They use a lot of technology to make the cars work. And you see all the antennas sticking up in the back. They run on 3G wireless technology, which is old technology and it's slow. We've upgraded all of that to broadband 4G wireless technology with a router in the car, so the cars can act like little mini Wi-Fi hubs. So I can take my City of Charlotte's issued cell phone, and connect to the network through a police car if I needed to do that. They are now able to pull data for, you know, crime, video, all sorts of things that they could not do before with this technology. Nobody else in the country has implemented the technology. They've talked about it, but no one's done what we've done.
Connectivity is a big issue for the designation of being a smart city.
Absolutely. Yeah, so one of the things that we did with Envision, when we started in 2010, which was a Duke and Center City Partners-led initiative to reduce energy in uptown, we didn't realize we were building a smart city. By connecting these 61 buildings through their energy use, we just recently installed water shadow meters, so we'll start gathering that real-time water use, and we're going to be collecting the waste as well. We're actually connecting our uptown to look at it holistically. And that is really a foundation of a smart city, is to be able to not look at siloed buildings, but to look at an uptown like ours and make decisions about energy or water. It's what everyone wants to do, and we're doing it. And we didn't even realize we're heading down the smart city's path. This is just what we knew how we could. You can't manage what you don't measure. Mm. So you've got to measure this data, you've got to set the baseline, and then you've got to implement programs to make sure their effectiveness. You see lots of other cities say, we're going to reduce our energy by 20%. How do they know if they're not measuring it? So we're way far ahead in terms of measuring what we're doing.
I did read somewhere, too, that amongst those 61 buildings, there's a program where employees are encouraged to cut off the lights.
Yes.
To do things like that. And if they don't, they end up with a stuffed animal, a goat or something like that.
It's a crab.
A crab,
crabs
excuse
go
me.
To the light. So if you leave your light on, you get crabbed.
Smart city, somebody writes in and emails in and says that smart cities should also include smart development, including clean construction. What's going on here other than reducing what goes into the landfill, for example?
Yes, I mean, if we look at the LEED certified buildings, right? So I think that is one of the measures for how we see to build better, more sustainable buildings, both in terms of not putting them in landfills, but also to operate through their lifetime as very efficient buildings. So I think there are a lot of new buildings being built with designated LEED certifications. So I think we're on the right track there. But I totally agree. You have to start with a design up front to make sure it is a well sustainable design. And you have to think about this building is going to be, 20 years lifetime or 50 years lifetime, and it has to be recycled or refilled. So it is all in that original design. So both from our architects, our civil engineers, we really have to build that certifications, those sort of good sustainable design into the original
project. It can certainly be tweaked over the coming 20, 30 years that the building is supposed to last. But you just used the word that I hear as a buzzword in any of these discussions. It's sustainable solutions, things that are not just quick fixes, right, but things that are going to last into over the next 2 to 3 decades.
Yeah. And I think the bottom line is it's also make economic sense. Sustainability makes sense. Not just because we want to be green guys and be cool and tree-hugging, but the bottom line is we really have to do it because it makes economic sense. It looks after our environment, but it also provides the revenue streams to do the things we have to do.
How and where can we see evidence of this smart city movement in our everyday lives for the average person? Anybody?
Well, I mean, if we look at what happened the last 10 years in Charlotte with just the transportation, the fact that, when I came from Europe, I would say, where are all the public transportation in the city? So I feel proud to say to my colleagues back in Europe, listen, we've got a great transportation system here. It's top-notch. It attracts new people. The South End is developing like crazy, just because of those sort of infrastructure, those investments our leaders have done. And we will see the same thing happen on the corridor coming to the university. I think these are the sort of things which I'm proud of, and I think every citizen should be proud of.
The transportation hungi.
Yeah, well, and I would add the trolley into that in terms of how we move people around. It's not simply just, we need more electric vehicle charging stations. It's more pedestrian. It's more bike friendly. It's more mass transit like the trolley, like the blue line to move people around. And the other thing that I think you're going to see is you're going to see more infill development rather than greenfield development, because as the city grows, again, there's limited space and you're going to see old buildings being torn down and new ones going up. And you're going to see that new building standard coming in of, sustainable, LEED certified
type construction.
That type of construction.
We had mentioned earlier in the program that it was an easy sell to businesses because so much of these conservation measures and the smart technology actually makes money for a company. So Doug on our website is a man after my own heart. He asked, who gets to make the money from the process until, he says, the large established political business interests are getting a piece of the action. He doesn't think it any potentially disruptive technology or practices are adopted, no matter how much of a no-brainer that it is.
Well, I would argue that when you look at these buildings uptown and that Duke has gone in and taught people how to turn off lights, those businesses have saved money on their energy bill. And so what happens is not only is Bank of America saving money on their energy bill, but when other businesses are looking to move to Charlotte and they see how inexpensive it is to be in one of these buildings because it's less energy costs, less water costs, it's that economic development piece. So I do think the businesses are seeing the savings already. And they're justifying those. When we talk we have people on our board from both Bank of America and Wells Fargo. They look at their bottom line. They look at what they're saving on their energy bill. And it does make sense.
Well, as an organization with a large footprint in the city, we have, tons of facilities from small ones like police and fire stations to, the government center, which has 400,000 square feet. I can tell you, we pay attention to our utility bills. And And it makes so much business sense to find any way we can to reduce our, you know, energy, one, our energy use, because it ultimately ends up reducing our energy bill, which saves the city government money, which ultimately means the city taxpayer ends up saving money.
And it incentivizes not just the government, not just the big businesses, but individuals do that in their homes every day.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. What kind of back to these sensors, this is intriguing to me. You were talking about, Amy, that sensors are being pole technology. Is that what you called it?
The light poles?
Yeah.
So there's this huge new wave of smart light poles coming, and it's one of the things that I'm most excited about.
Are there any yet?
Not in Charlotte. There are in other cities.
Got it.
And there's several companies who are now starting to, you know, move into this space, because the old problem is if you look – really take a look at our light poles uptown, not necessarily the decorative ones on Tryon. They have all this equipment hanging because you can't get a cell phone signal without small cell technology. So you have to have that stuff hanging off the poles. You have to have, you know, Time Warner Cable wants to be there. There's lots of people who want to be on those poles. Well, why not design them so it's all inside, so it's still aesthetically pleasing? But then you can also put in all kinds of sensor technology, whether you want to read all three of those meters that I talked about, gas, water, and electric. Now you don't have truck rolls. It's all done wirelessly. You know, there's so many opportunities with street poles that that's really where – and I talk way too much about poles. But
that's fascinating, though. It sounds like it's the dressing up the cell phone tower and made it look like a tree.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's same principle. And, I mean, again, the sensors are there. So how do we manage the data? I think it comes again. We're going to have a lot of these smart poles out there. And you know, one thing I think we're also very, very proud of at UNC Charlotte is really our big data initiative, our data science and business analytics initiative, because that's really what we are talking about. How do you manage all this data, and how can you make sense about it without really, you know, bogged down in the data? So you can't really manage the data anymore as we've done it in the past.
Very little time left. Hongyi, let's go down the line here. And the question is this. In the next couple of years, what's going to be, in your mind, the most exciting thing that's going to come along that's going to advance the city technologically and that we're all going to benefit from?
Well, I think the exciting thing for me is that instead of just looking at a smart service like solid waste or water or even public safety, you're going to see all of these things start to be integrated together so that you're getting – instead of having to look at like four or five different screens of data, you're going to look at one, and it's going to tell you everything you need to know about what's happening in the city.
Johan?
Well, I think it is about how do we manage the data. I totally agree. It's basically having your operators, your people managing these facilities, having a one visual impact.
Amy.
Street poles.
Not surprisingly. Amy Ossaker is Executive Director of Envision. Charlotte Hongyi is Assistant City Manager for the City of Charlotte. Johan Enslin, Director of the Energy Production and Infrastructure Center at UNC Charlotte. Is there an absolute no question about something is going to happen along those lines, that there's no stopping it? Something in the digital technology world, an advancement that is going to occur whether we like it or not?
Well, I think one of the things that I think every city and every person is grappling with is data and privacy. And I think that eventually people are going to realize that having more open data can be a better thing. And so I think it's coming, and people need to get a little bit more comfortable with sharing more data.
Yeah, Johan, if you were talking to a college graduate or a person entering college right now, what would you tell them that they should be studying in order to take advantage of this next movement?
Well, I would tell them they have to come to EPIC. What do you think?
Right.
So, no, but I think that the bottom line is this nexus between all these different aspects. If you look at – it's not – we don't train or – you know, get engineers focused just on the electric side of it or just the mechanical side. We really have to have that integrated, multidisciplinary process. And it has to be a business case. A lot of our engineers are typically like the technical side, but don't like the business. And they have to understand that business case as part of it.
Yes. And here it's what can every day citizens, homeowners do to be more smart on their own? Hongyi.
It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort, but the thing that they can do to be smarter, they can start paying attention to their own resource consumption, whether it's water, electricity, energy, gas. They should start paying attention to it, and not on a weekly monthly basis when they get their bill, but they need to start paying attention to it almost daily, because once you have that understanding, you can make better choices.
Doing things like composting, for example, reducing the amount of waste. Is there a magic bullet on the way to reduce waste in the household?
This is going to sound cliche, but that one day there's going to be an app for that.
Amy?
The one thing I want to say that we haven't said is Charlotte should be very, very proud of where it's at with this smart city, because we literally have attention. I think more people around the world know that we're a smart city than our citizens. So I'm so happy we were able today to talk about it, because we get tons of attention from everywhere. And we should be proud of what we're doing.
And is one of the main reasons why the Smart Cities Council is holding the conference in a couple of weeks. Amy Ossinger, again, Executive Director of Envision Charlotte, thanks for being here. Hongyi Yi, Assistant City Manager from the City of Charlotte. Johan Enslin, Director of the Energy Production and Infrastructure Center at UNC Charlotte. Great to have all you guys.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for the discussion.